All right, guys, you are locked on Falcons. I am your host, Aaron Freeman, and this is a special Saturday Fan Talk doubleheader with Justin Sandu and Bobby Miller, a pair of Falcon fans out west that came on with me to talk everything Falcons.
You are locked on Falcons, your daily podcast on the Atlanta Falcons, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So this episode is unique because I recorded two fan talks this week. To make up for the lack of fan talks that we've had on this podcast the last couple of weeks. The first one I recorded, and you'll hear, is from Justin Sandu. The second one is from Bobby Miller. Now, as I said earlier this week, if you happen to be one of the hardcore fans that listen to every episode, I was supposed to record an episode with Justin on Wednesday. Originally, with the idea I'll post that on Thursday, and the second one I would do with Bobby would be posted on Saturday. But due to a scheduling conflict, Justin decided that he wanted to go to Game 7 of the World Series to see his beloved LA Dodgers in a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to see his team win the World Series for the first time in his lifetime. Instead of being on this podcast, my feelings weren't hurt by any means. But it forced me to have to sort of reschedule that episode. And so therefore, instead of doing two separate shows, decided to combine them into one. So right now, I'm giving you guys a pretty basic intro. We're going to get the business of this podcast out of the way. And then we'll just drop in the audio for each conversation. First, Justin, followed by Bobby. Both are about 23 minutes long. We talk about a lot of stuff, the Jets game, the Panthers game, Steve Sarkisian, the good things we've liked from the Falcons season so far, what we want to see improve, how the rest of the league is going, stuff like that, you know, the huge. There's that, and you know, as usual, we're giving away a Pro Football Focus Edge a subscription. It's a $40 value with it. You get player grades, snap counts, rankings, fantasy projections, tools, charts, draft content, etc. To enter to get that free Pro Football Focus subscription, you got to head over to Locked On Falcons on iTunes, drop a 5-star review, and in said review, leave your Twitter handle, and that'll signal to the powers that be that at the end of each week, one random winner will be chosen to win that free Pro Football Focus Edge account. If you don't win, you can still get all the great Pro Football Focus content on the Locked On Podcast Network. You can check out Mike Renner every Wednesday on Locked On NFL with Matt Williamson. Check out Jeff Ratcliffe, the director of fantasy for Pro Football Focus, every Thursday on Locked On Fantasy with Vinny Iyer. So, also, instead of doing the waiting to the end to do the standard outro, which I always butcher because usually I've had been talking for 45 minutes to an hour plus, and so therefore my brain is a little loopy. Let's get these things done at the top of the show. Maybe that will fix the problems with these horrible, horrible outros that I do. So, you can find me on Twitter at FalcFans. If you have questions, comments, critiques, compliments, or any other thoughts dealing with the podcast, just let me know within the tweet. But there is a better, simpler way to let your podcast-related thoughts fly, and that's by tweeting the show at Locked On Falcons. That is the show's Twitter handle. If you hate the shackles imposed on us from character limits that Twitter imposes on us all our free spirits, then Facebook might offer that safe haven for you. And our Facebook page is, of course, Locked On Falcons. Give us a like while you're there. Email also has no character limits. The email address is lockedonfalcons@mail.com. And you can send your novel-length rants criticizing me for how much love I give Patrick DeMarco in this podcast and how much I underrate Deion Jones in those emails. So I look forward to reading those. You can also leave a comment at falcfans.com. That's another way of getting your feedback back on the show. That's where the show is posted daily, where you can stream to your heart's content and find all the archives of this here podcast dating all the way back to 2011, when it was long before Locked On Falcons and whatnot. But anyway, even though I'm doing it at the beginning, I'm clearly getting out of it. But you can also check out lockedonfalcons.com. That, thanks to our partnership with FanRag Sports, That website is up and running right now, and it will be the future, and currently is the current, but semi-current, because it has, you know, a little bit of outdated content on there. But the future home where this podcast can be found, and will be the home of additional Falcons-related content in relation to this podcast. So look forward to that as soon as I get that settled. That's it, guys. There's your intro, and let's get into our conversation with Justin. I'm going to just drop you right in, right about here. So, Justin, welcome to the show. You are, I believe, the 13th Fan Talk episode that we've had, so hopefully that's not an unlucky number. But I'm sure you feel a little bit unlucky, given that you watched your favorite baseball team losing in Game 7 of the World Series. I hate to rub it in. As a Falcon fan who has now watched two of his favorite teams lose in the championship, but tell me about that experience and sort of where your head is at now.
Yeah, it was a really fun experience. You know, going to Game 7 of the World Series is like a thing you have on your bucket list. I'd say the Super Bowl losing that prepared me to handle this loss because, okay. You know, similar idea, but this wasn't as bad because, you know, from the very beginning, they were down 5-0, so it's kind of like you knew they were going to lose or it was going to be tough to come back. But it was a good experience, and Hopefully next year, you know, we can have more success.
Absolutely. There's always next year, right? The mantra that you have hammered into you. That's the word. Hammered into you as a Falcon fan, definitely.
It has, yeah. 20-3, no more.
So, Justin, how have you been taking this Falcon season so far? Is it living up to your expectations, not living up to your expectations? How have the first 7 games, how has this team looked to you?
I would say the first 3 games, they looked pretty good. Obviously, they had the Bears game and the Lions game. It came down to the end, but they were finishing games like they had to. And then they went through the 3-game lull of the Bills, Dolphins, and Patriots game, where they didn't look as good and the offense started to sputter out. But they kind of got back on track at the Jets game. It was a tough game in the elements. You know, Falcons don't really play outdoors a lot. So now I'm thinking that they're going to get back on the right track now, hopefully with the win against Carolina on Sunday.
Yeah, hopefully. I don't know. I'm not overly confident about this upcoming game. I think we're going to learn a lot about this team this Sunday.
And yeah, we will. The next 3 game stretch.
Yeah. Of these 3 games, is Dallas, Seattle, and Carolina, is there any particular one that worries you more than the others?
Now that Ezekiel Elliott's not going to play in the Dallas game, in all likelihood, I would say that the Carolina game worries me the most because it's a divisional game and it's the most, so it would have the most weight on it. I think we can get, you know, if we stop the run and their defense isn't very good, we should be able to possess the ball enough to do well in that game. And Seattle will be tough, but I think we play them well just because Dan Quinn was with Seattle, so I think we're very familiar with them. We played them a lot. And I think our offense and defense is better than their offensive defense, so I think we will be good there.
Okay. So it sounds like you still feel like this team is headed towards a playoff berth, right?
I do. I think it'll be tough. I don't think the offense is as good as last year. I think we've seen that. I think it's a good offense, but it's not going to be able to carry us like it did last year. So I think in order for us to have a great season, go far in the playoffs, the defense is going to need to step up, force more turnovers and stuff like that.
Yeah, so I'm assuming you liked what you saw from the Jets game then.
I did. During the game, like, for the first 3 quarters, I thought we were going to lose the game because we had all the fumbled snaps, that stuff, the drops, the Hooper drop in the end zone, and then we gave up a couple big plays to the Jets wide receivers. So that was tough, but we came back, won the game, so I think we're moving in the right direction. It's exactly what this team needed.
Yeah, you know, I think that Jets game might be a microcosm for what this season might look like. And so I think it's going to be important for them to finish these games. And that's been something that they've struggled with this year. Mm-hmm. And hopefully the confidence boost that finishing that game with the Jets being down and then coming back, hopefully that will be something that will continue and it's just not like a one-off or anything like that.
Yeah, the momentum, if you're getting the momentum from that game, it could drive us to the rest of the year. So I hope that's what happens.
Yeah. And so, yeah, that's why I think the Carolina game is pretty important to see whether or not they continue that momentum or not. And we'll, I guess we'll figure things out. Still a lot of football left to be played.
I totally agree.
Yeah. So when you saw all the trades go down, what was your reaction, and specifically, what was your reaction to the Kelvin Benjamin trade?
I was very surprised that happened, because this season Buffalo's been kind of trading all their guys away. They traded away Sammy Watkins. They traded Ronald Darby. They traded Marcel Darius this week to Jacksonville. So it's like different than what they were doing, what they seemed like they were trying to do. But they are 5-2, so maybe they're trying to get a guy to replace Sammy Watkins, so they can make a run for it this year. Mm-hmm. But I think it definitely weakens Carolina. So I think it's going to be good for us. But the thing is that I think is interesting to think about is the year that Carolina was 15-1, Kelvin Benjamin was out the entire year. So something to think about.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, they definitely showed that year that they were capable of surviving without Kelvin Benjamin. So it'll be interesting to see if they do that again this year, or if we look back at that and say, oh, that was just a one-off and everything clicked for them and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, the good thing that Carolina, you know, if I can say something positive about Carolina, is their defense does look like it's back to where it was 2 years ago, or at least close to back to where it was 2 years ago. So they aren't necessarily a team that needs to put up, you know, 27, 30 points every week to win games, just because they can sort of, you know, win games 17-14 and whatnot. So it'll be interesting, because I think that's really the test for the Falcons right now, just because the offense is not really clicking all that much. And so right now the defense, while I think has made significant strides, I don't know if we've reached that point yet where we can start winning these sort of low-scoring games. I'm curious, what are your thoughts on what you've seen from the offense so far this year? Where, you know, on what side of the fence do you fall? There's the extreme side of we got to fire Sark right now. There's the side of, you know, Sark, we don't need to fire him, but we need to get a lot better production out of him. There's the side of Sark's all right. And then there's the side of, you know, give Sark a chance and we'll figure it out. Do you fall in any one of those camps, or do you have your own camp?
I would say we have to keep Sark the rest of this year at least. He's only been an offensive coordinator for, what, 7-8 games now, so he's just learning this. If it doesn't get better by the end of the year, then I would say maybe we have to make a move, or we could just let Matt Ryan try to take over the play, call his own plays a lot more, you know, with the line of scrimmage, with no huddle and stuff like that. It's still a top 10 offense. I think it's 7th or 5th or something like that statistically. So it's going to drop off from the 10th best offense ever. It's just going to happen, even if Kyle Shanahan. So I think we just need to realize that it's not going to be what it was last year, and just accept that it's not as creative, but it's still a good offense. It can still help us win a lot of games.
Yeah, it's a good point. Yeah, we'll see what happens. You know, I think I was looking at some of the stats earlier today, and one of the things that's interesting about the Falcons offense is, like, when you look at the overall stats, it's not always, you know, it sort of shows that they're more a middle of the pack type of offense. But when you look at the drive stats, a lot of them really show that the Falcons are much better when you break it down in terms of yards and points and whatever per drive. And part of their issue has been that they haven't been able to possess the ball as much, because the defense struggles to get off the field and the lack of turnovers and all those sorts of things. But it is interesting to sort of look at the numbers when you break down those drive stats from the in the first half versus the second half. And they're really, like, they're top 5, top 10 in most of those categories in terms of, like, the percentage of drives that end with the score, the percentage of drives that end with touchdowns in the first half. But then it sort of falls a lot more to the bottom half of the league in the second half. And so I think really right now, the issue, you know, that tells me at least maybe the big issue with Sark right now is the team comes into the game looking, you know, strong with their sort of weekly game plan, But then when they have to make in-game adjustments, that's really where Sark's lack of experience and whatnot is really sort of holding the team back.
Yeah, I agree. And also a problem in the second half. I think the defense hasn't played as well in the second half. You can look at the Miami game, like the Miami Dolphins had like a 10-minute drive to start the second half. So we went like probably like 40 minutes of real time without possessing the ball. So I think that we're struggling to like string together drives with momentum. So I think if the defense would play a little better in the second half, that would help as well.
Yeah, even in the Jets game, I think the Jets closed out the third quarter with like a 5 or 6 minute drive, which is, you know, not as bad as we've seen in terms of what's been put on this defense, but certainly that's not, you know, you're taking away at least one possession when the Jets, at least the Jets offense, is taking away one possession from our offense. So, yeah, I think it's really about, you know, this team figuring out how to finish these games stronger than they have. And the good thing with the Jets game is that they were able to overcome that. But, you know, I think with some of these tougher opponents coming up, I don't think you can give up these 6 and 7 minute drives in the second half, in the third quarter and whatnot, and still expect to win unless you're dropping, you know, 30 points in one half like we were doing last year, which was often the case, but not really been the case this year.
And also, we need to, like, force some turnovers on defense. I think we only have, like, 3 or 4 turnovers the whole year. We need to give the offense some short field to get us going, you know? Because last year, we were toward the top of the NFL in turnover margin. Now, I think we're 28th or, like, -5. That's not going to get it done.
Definitely. What are your thoughts on how the rest of the NFC is going to shake out? And sort of, is this year's NFC, you know, last year, one of the things that we said about the Falcons were that they, you know, they were on the come up when the NFC was as a whole was on the down. And so it was really a perfect opportunity for them to make that run that they made last year. Do you feel like the NFC is better this year, or do you feel like it's just, okay, it's the same still, not any sort of juggernauts in the NFC, but this year, instead of it being, you know, whoever, it's now Philadelphia in Minnesota or whoever else. What are your thoughts on the rest of the NFC?
I think it's not like one powerhouse. I don't think Philadelphia is unbeatable. Their secondary isn't that great. So I think some teams can come in there and beat them. It's like in the NFC, I think Seattle, the Rams, the Vikings, the Cowboys, the Eagles, the Falcons, the Panthers, and the Saints are the only teams that can really make the playoffs. I think it's going to be hard because I think the Saints are a lot better this year. Their defense is improving, and their run game is better because Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram have looked really good. So I think if we want to win the division, we're going to have to take care of business against Carolina and New Orleans. But I think if the rest of the NFC, I think if we can beat any of those teams, Seattle, Philadelphia, the Vikings, I don't think they're unbeatable. I think we just need to get hot at the right time, just like we did last year.
Definitely. Yeah, and I think the good thing about it is, like, you know, I know for me, one of the things I've noticed over the years is that generally speaking, quarterbacks tend to lose their first playoff game unless they're sort of backed up by a top-tier defense. And, you know, you have examples like Tom Brady and Ben Roethlisberger and Joe Flacco. But in those years when they first made their playoff runs, they were also backed by one of the league's best defense. Russell Wilson's another good example of that. And so, like, you look at teams like Philadelphia with Carson Wentz, even though Philadelphia's defense is very good, I don't know if it's quite at that level where it needs to be. The same thing, you know, Minnesota has a great defense as well. But, you know, if Case Keenum is the starting quarterback for them come January, I'm not going to feel overly confident about any one of those teams making a deep run. So I do think, you know, right now, even though there's certain teams that are ahead of the Falcons right now, I do feel reasonably confident that if this team can sort of find a way to pull it all together and get to the postseason, then I think the door is wide open for them at that point. But I think right now it's going to be tough because I think you can't even, you know, you're right. I think with the Saints being better, with Carolina, despite not playing, you know, great football all this year, they're still at 5-3. It's one of those things where I don't think you can count on the Falcons winning a wild card. And I think if they're going to make the playoffs, they're going to have to find a way to win this division. And obviously that starts with them you know, beating the Panthers and winning some of these divisional games, because certainly we're going to see a lot more down the stretch.
And also one more thing, like hypothetically, if the Falcons were to get a wild card, like the 5 or the 6, and they'd have to go to the Rams for their first playoff game, I think they could win that because it would be Jared Goff's first game in L.A., you know. Not a great home field advantage, but so I think we can win a game or two as a wild card, but if we want to like make a run to the Super Bowl, I don't think we're going to be able to survive going like to Seattle or to Minnesota or places like that.
Yeah, that's true. I'm with you on that. Yeah. So we'll see what happens. Is there anything else that you're dying to talk about that you want to express to the listeners, that, you know, as a longtime loyal listener of the Locked On Falcons podcast, as I know you are, is there anything else that you, any other topics or any other thoughts you wanted to express?
Yeah, one thing I want to talk about, like a little bit about the matchup with the Panthers. I think that if we're able to run the ball a little bit, just to, you know, keep their defense honest, I think we can have some decent success against them. Because whenever Carolina's defense has put a good offense, they give up a lot of points to the Patriots, the Saints, and even the Lions scored like 24 points on them. So I think we're going to be okay in this game. I just think we need to run the ball a little bit, and then it'll open up the pass game, because their secondary isn't like the Legion of Boom. It can be beaten. It's just we need to be able to run the ball a little bit and protect Matt Ryan.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I don't want to get into a point where Julius Peppers, the ageless wonder, is able to sort of pin his ears back and get after Matt Ryan if the offense gets a little too one-dimensional and is forced to throw every single time.
Yeah, so just get off to a good start. You know, don't fall behind, and I think we'll be okay.
Yeah, that's true. You also had some thoughts on possibly, you know, how the team has been using Sanu and Gabriel. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't think Gabriel's being used right. I mean, I don't have a game pass, so I can't watch the All-22. But last year, it just seemed like Gabriel would be catching screens for touchdowns, deep passes for touchdowns, and stuff like that. Now, it just seems like he gets like one or two catches a game, and they're just like 10 yarders or, you know, things over the middle or screens for 2 yards. It's just, I don't think it's working. But with Sanu, I think he's very good. I think he's been our most reliable receiver this year. You know, every third down, he's a good possession receiver. So I think he's a really good number two for us and complements Julio well. But I don't think Gabriel's being used right, or we need to find a different number three receiver that could complement Julio and Sanu.
Yeah, I think you got it right. You know, I think Sanu has played much better this season. And, you know, if that's coming from me, that means something. I'm with you on Gabriel's being not used correctly. I don't think there's really much for him in this offense other than a couple of design screens. There are times when they sort of design plays for him, but a lot of those times Matt Ryan is looking elsewhere. But really what those plays are just him, you know, trying to get him on a crossing route to try to get him in, you know, give him some space after the catch and whatnot. And so it's really just an extension of a screen pass. It's just, you're asking him to run 5 yards downfield instead of, you know, hanging out at the line of scrimmage. And you know, we saw some early season deep three throws to Gabriel. But you know, that was at the point in the year when Matt Ryan was sort of not connecting on those deep passes. And then we really haven't seen them since then. So, it'll be interesting to sort of see if whether or not Sark can sort of figure out ways to make Gabriel more of a factor in the games. Because I think right now he's had several games where you would look at the matchups on paper and you'd be like, oh, Gabriel's going to rip this guy a new one. And last year, when those situations came up, he did. And this year, it's not really been the case. And I think this Carolina game is another good example of a game where when they go three wides, and, you know, Captain Munnerlin's guarding Mohamed Sanu in the slot and James Bradbury's covering Julio, Gabriel's going to be going up against a sort of a big, stiff corner like Daryl Worley, who's really struggled this year. And it really he should have plenty of opportunities in this game. And if he has another sort of like two catch, you know, 25-yard game or something like that, then You know, I don't know if it's the nail in the coffin, but it is one of those things where it's just like, if it doesn't click this week, then I don't know when we could expect it to start clicking. Because now we're, you know, halfway through the season and it hasn't really been working. Outside of that big screen pass he had, there really hasn't been a sort of a signature Taylor Gabriel moment this year.
Yeah. Like, one specific example of Sarkisian using him wrong, like the game when he threw it, Matt Ryan threw a deep level coverage when Micah Hyde got the interception. Like, to me, that's a route that Julio can run. He's a lot taller and can go up, go back to the ball through double coverage. Taylor Gabriel, like a 5'8 receiver, like, he's going to be like wide open going deep, or he's going to have a step on the DB so he can go make the catch. But he's not going to be able to go up over taller guys and make contested catches. That's just not the right usage for him.
Yeah. And certainly the jet sweep is another bad example of how to use Taylor Gabriel from the Patriots game.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
That was a disaster.
Yes, the last two times we have played the Patriots, I think, will be games that we will want to forget and never have to bring up ever again.
Yeah, totally.
So, Justin, any other thoughts on the Falcons season or any other thoughts in general before we wrap this thing up?
I think I'm pretty good. Yeah, I think we're going to be okay. I think we can gain momentum off of last week, and I think the season is heading in the right direction now.
Okay, there you go. Well, if you say it, then I got to believe it then, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, but, hopefully.
All right. So, Justin, let the people know if you're on any social medias, where people can find you if they want to talk Falcons with you.
I'm not on Twitter, but I am on Instagram. I'm Justin201224. So we can talk through there, direct message, stuff like that, if you guys want.
Okay, well, you're one of the lucky ones. You're not on Twitter, so,
Yep, I'm like one of the only people.
Yeah, it's fine. You're one of the rest of us are crazy for being on Twitter. But,
Yeah. Right.
So, okay, Justin, I appreciate you coming on. I hope your Dodgers don't the heartbreak isn't too much, and you'll find a way to, by next April, you'll be getting over it. But, it's a tough break when two teams.
And whenever Carolina helped.
Yeah, definitely. You got an NBA team that you root for or anything?
Yeah, I'm a Laker fan, not the greatest future we have right now, but hopefully maybe we get LeBron or something like that and it goes well. But yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see what happens in 2018, definitely. So at least
look to the future for that.
There's certainly some hope in the future. Hopefully the Falcons will add some more to that. This week.
Yeah, I hope so.
All right, Justin.
Who's your NBA team? Are you a Hawks fan?
No, I'm not a big NBA guy. Like, I used to be a Suns fan back in the 90s, and then they traded Barkley, and I was like, this is stupid. And then I was a Bucks fan, and then they traded Ray Allen, and I was like, this is stupid. And then at that point, I was just like, I'm not going to root for any NBA teams, because anytime I start rooting for them, they trade the best player away.
Stick to football.
Yeah, pretty much. And I'm usually a bandwagon Spurs fan in the playoffs, but that hasn't worked out too well the last couple of years.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Justin, appreciate it. You coming on, talking with me, and I hope the Falcons rise up for you so that they can get you out of this depression.
All right. Thanks for having me.
All right, man. Have a good night.
You too.
Well, Bobby, welcome to the show. How does it feel to be a part of the now growing community of Falcon fans that have made their illustrious appearance on the Locked On Falcons podcast?
Well, I feel lucky. I'm one of a select few. I waited very long to be on here, so I'm just thankful you had me on. I appreciate it.
Well, Bobby, you're stationed out in Nevada as part of the Air Force, correct?
Yes, sir.
So I take it you don't get a whole lot of Falcons news on that end. So I imagine, you don't have to inflate my ego, but I imagine this podcast is a welcome resource to help you get some of that home cooking for the Falcons.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Especially all the Raiders talk coming in out here.
Yeah. Well, you know, from my perspective, that's not a bad thing. But, you know, I could understand if you feel differently. All right, let's jump into it. Let's talk about this Falcons. And before we sort of talk about this upcoming game, I'm just curious, what have been your thoughts on the season so far?
So far, I knew we would have a setback with losing Kyle Shanahan. And he was obviously an integral part of our offense, I thought. But and obviously we started slow, and I know Steve Sarkisian has taken a lot of flack, and I haven't been a huge fan of his either, although I think he'll come around in the coming weeks. And I think that was evident last week in New York. I don't want to say he dialed up some great plays, but the play calling was good. We stuck to the run as much as we could. Matt Ryan looked more like himself, made some good throws. We had a few drops. I know Hooper dropped one in the end zone, but I think overall we started to look a little bit better. And it was tough with the weather too this past weekend. But that's enough about the season. But season as a whole, I'm honestly happy with 4-3. I think we could very easily be have one win after the Detroit game in the what's the other one I'm thinking of?
The Bears game.
Yes, the Bears game where they both came down to the wire. So, and I know some people say, oh, this last game we run on a 10-second runoff too. We were going to win that game anyways. But, yeah, those two games, it feels like to me the only two games that we really came to play was against Green Bay and against New York. And I hope that trend continues moving forward.
Yeah, definitely. So what are your thoughts on this upcoming matchup against the Panthers? From my perspective, it does feel like it's going to be a game that we're going to, you know, every game sort of tells a story, but I feel like this game is going to tell us a pretty big one, given sort of the stakes involved. This is our first divisional game, the fact that, you know, we do have a little bit of momentum coming off the Jets game. It was probably the best performance of the defense this season, probably second only to the Packers game and the Lions game in terms of the offensive play. But they're going to face a pretty big test against the Panthers. And so far this season, whenever we face an above average to good defense, with the Patriots game being the exception, it seems like this offense struggles. And it does seem like if they're going to get the season back on track, you know, that sort of streak, I guess, probably needs to end this week. What are your thoughts on that?
Totally agree. I think the game this weekend will kind of set the tone for the rest of the season. I think if we come out strong, and put up a W, it's good things to come. Because if you look to the last couple of years, we've kind of owned Carolina. I mean, obviously last year we did. We beat them twice. And then the year prior, when Carolina went 15-1, we were the only L they had on their record. So that was obviously nice to see. I think if we take care of business this weekend, it'll boost our confidence that much more, to include Steve Sarkisian. I think he needs that. And I really believe that's going to be the set in stone. If we go 4-4, I don't know if I see us clawing back up, especially with the way, I hate to say it, but with the way New Orleans is playing right now. They're looking pretty good, and their defense is getting better. So that's kind of got to be who we're going to be duking it out with, I think, in the division. But I think this move with Kelvin Benjamin going to Buffalo, I mean, in Vegas, in terms of how the sports books are looking at it, we started off as, I want to say, +2. So Carolina was favored by 2, and now we're favored by 1 last time I checked. So it was a 3-point swing just from him leaving. So hopefully that goes swings in our favor. So we'll see what happens in that regard. But, yeah, it's a huge game for us this weekend for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I'm with you on that. I do think, you know, given sort of when you look at the NFC playoff picture, looking at sort of the NFC South, you could, you know, you have three teams at this point. You know, I don't want to simply write off Tampa Bay, but at this point, unless they can start rattling off some wins, their sort of season is not maybe circling the drain a little bit. But it's one of those things where it's like it's going to be tough to make the wild card in this NFC South division. So certainly every divisional win is going to matter. And particularly getting off to that divisional schedule, off to a good start, going 1-0 this week against Carolina, I think will certainly put the Falcons in a more favorable position as we know, with, you know, five of their last six games being divisional games.
Right. And I think, too, with this game this weekend, if we go 4-4, and then the next 2 weeks we've got Dallas and Seattle, that just puts us in that much more of a hole and that much more pressure on us to win. We can very easily go 0-3 in that stretch, and then our season's pretty much over at that point.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be tough to sort of rebound from that unless they can just basically sweep the division at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So, you know, you talked about Vegas having the swing with the Kelvin Benjamin trade. Did that trade sort of open the door for you to have a lot more optimism going into this upcoming matchup?
I'll say a little bit. I know Benjamin's had his troubles with drops, and I know in the offseason with his weight troubles or what have you. But I think it'll do nothing but help us, because they've got Devin Funchess now as their number one receiver. And I know him and Benjamin were very similar. They're both big guys, and I think that's probably why they got rid of Benjamin, because Funchess is younger, he's cheaper. They've got him locked up for longer term than Benjamin. Anyways, for this weekend, though, yeah, I think it'll help us because they're now number two receiver. I honestly don't even know who it is at this point. And I think they're going to be kind of playing catch up and be a lot more pressure put on them. So I think that'll only help us, especially with Greg Olsen still being out. So that's a benefit. But we're going to have to focus on the run that much more, because they're going to throw McCaffrey and Jonathan Stewart at us that much more, I believe. So and Cam as well. I can see some read option plays up their sleeves coming up this weekend.
So yeah,
shades of Auburn. But let's hope we can contain that. Hope the run D played like we did this past weekend. Although I think the weather this past weekend made it that much more predictable for both teams to run the ball more. So it made it that much easier for us to stop the run. But hopefully I'm wrong in that regard, and we have it down pat for this weekend, and we can stop the run. So
yeah, I think that run defense is certainly going to get tested this week. You know, I think the good thing is Carolina is by no means a juggernaut in terms of running the football, so I do think they have an opportunity to sort of have another solid game, particularly given that the Panthers are dealing with some injuries on their interior offensive line. They certainly need it. They need to sort of go out there and prove this week, I think, particularly that, you know, that last week's Jets game wasn't a fluke, wasn't simply them preying on a bad offensive line, and that this team can legitimately stop the run, just because, as you say, I think Carolina, certainly to sort of offset the loss of Benjamin, will certainly focus on trying to establish the run this week. And, you know, the next game after that is against the Cowboys, even without Zeke. You know, they are certainly going to be a team that's going to try to run the football. And with that offensive line, you know, this defense is going to have its hands full in terms of, you know, trying to stop the run. So if they can sort of build off of last week's solid performance and have another solid performance against the Panthers, I think, you know, that should certainly build some confidence that they can at least, you know, not necessarily stop Dallas's run game, but keep it contained enough that it doesn't run buck wild. Because if the run defense that we've seen most part this season with the Falcons, you know, the Cowboys are liable to put like 200 yards on us if they don't tighten up. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I'm curious, what have you been thinking about in terms of Sark's offense, and do you feel like there's one way of fixing this, or you just think it's going to have to take time and there's no sort of one problem that's slowing down the Falcons offense?
At first I was on the fire Sark train. I think I was jumping the gun in my own mind, thinking, oh, we need to get rid of this guy, he's complete garbage. But I think we need to let it play out a little bit, and I know you've mentioned it before, and I agree that firing him right now, middle of the season, who's going to replace him? I mean, really nobody can fill those shoes at this point. I think we should let it play out, see how the rest of the season goes, and if it's really that bad in the off season, replace him with someone else, and then let that person have a full off season to start fresh. Although I feel like, too, with every time we've changed offensive coordinators with Matt Ryan under center, he struggled the first year or two, especially obviously with Shanahan. Just 1 year he struggled, because last year he had an amazing year, but it's taken him a little bit of time to get adjusted a little bit. And I think maybe one thing that we should do or look at doing more, and I know every offseason I feel like we hear it. They say, yeah, we're going to go more no huddle. We're going to go more no huddle. But we never really see it that much. I really feel like we should do that. I know we kind of started off the game that way last week, but I think we should continue to have a few more drives with the no huddle. I know one big argument is time of possession, but if we can put points on the board, that's at the end of the day, that's all that matters. And our defense is, if we play like we did last week where we kept getting horrible field position, I felt like, and our defense kept stopping them. And I think we can be a more viable threat.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, I think the no huddle certainly could be a way to sort of solve some of the third quarter issues that the team is having offensively. It seems like the offense really has had an issue all year long, sort of grinding to a halt in those third quarter games. And whether it's turnovers, whether it's three and outs or whatever it is, it does seem like, you know, they come out pretty strong in the first half of these games. And then in the second half, there's a big dip. And it's really been a really struggle for this team to finish games in that way on both sides of the ball. But particularly with the offense, I do think maybe, you know, coming out, if not on that first drive in the third quarter, but maybe that second possession in the third quarter, if that first drive doesn't go and sort of trying to get established a no huddle and try to get some tempo to keep the defense off balance. And maybe that will be the spark that they might need to sort of get things going when things start to slow down for them.
I totally agree. I think that's one way around some of the woes, so to speak.
Yeah. Has there been any sort of players that have emerged this year that have been surprises to you that you sort of went into the season like, yeah, that guy's whatever, and then you've been pleasantly surprised? Or is the opposite true? Has there been someone that you had high expectations for and have been bitterly disappointed this year?
One player that jumps at me a little bit is Schweitzer. He started off a little bit shaky, and I know last week he didn't play the best, but we'll give him a mulligan for the weather. But I think he's been playing a lot better than what I feel like he has been, because that was the biggest question that we all had in the offseason was who's going to fill Chris Chester's spot at right guard. And I think he's done a great job so far, all things considered. So that's a big plus on the line. And I think also, too, someone who doesn't really get too much praise is Coleman, the new fullback, Derek Coleman. He's not to say he's a, you know, he's filled the shoes that were there prior, but I feel like he's done a decent job. Because I know how you feel about
yeah.
a previous fullback. But but on the flip side, I'll say Vic Beasley, and I think it's because of his positioning sometimes, but every play I try to focus on different players, different plays, but Vic Beasley, sometimes I see him and he's always struggling against those big tackles. I feel like him moving to Sam linebacker position will be a good move for him, like you were saying as well. I mean, we'll see how it pans out throughout the rest of the season, but whether or not we keep him there. But he just doesn't look, and I know he's been nicked up a little bit, he didn't look quite the same as he did last year.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think the move to linebacker will benefit him, because I think, you know, it sort of puts him in a situation where he doesn't necessarily have to go over and over against these, you know, 320-pound offensive tackles that he seems to have the majority of his struggles against, the bigger guys that sort of he can't overpower, or, you know, he can't out leverage just because they have, you know, the length on him and whatnot. And sort of when he uses that speed rush, they can just sort of nudge him wide of the pocket. And when you don't have that reliable interior rush, and the Falcons, it's getting better, I think, but it isn't quite to the level where we need it to be. And so he just is zooming past the quarterback steps up in the pocket, and it's not really making a huge effect. So I do think, you know, having him at Sam, giving him some more opportunities, maybe going up against some lighter, more finesse guys at the left tackle position, particularly against Carolina this week with Matt Khalil at that spot, I think will help him. With Schweitzer, I was very skeptical of Schweitzer the first month of the season. I was just kind of like, yeah, you know, he's not that good, but, you know, we'll see what he has. But then over the last, you know, 4 weeks, and you're right, he didn't have the best performance against the Jets, but I haven't really had too many concerns with his play over the last month, so I feel pretty good about that spot moving forward, unless he sort of really starts to struggle in this back half of the year. But the fullback position, I'm partial to that spot. Certainly, I think Coleman, he's been fine. Obviously, pretty big drop off, but I think people know that I thought very, very highly of Patrick DeMarco, and so it was sort of expected that there would be a drop off there. I don't think that's necessarily Coleman's fault. I personally blame the front office and the coaching staff for letting DeMarco walk and shifting that blame to Coleman. But Coleman's, what he's not doing providing on offense, he's certainly providing on special teams. He's been our best and most productive special teams player this year. So even if he's not contributing in the massive way that we would like on offense, at least he's doing something to compensate on special teams. So he's not completely, a waste or anything like that.
Right. And of course I didn't mention Grady Jarrett, but he didn't really surprise me. I saw him, second half of last season, he kind of seemed like he turned a corner a little bit, and especially his Super Bowl performance was unbelievable, but he looks like he's really going to be, someone we want to get locked up long-term pretty soon.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. Yeah. We just got to get some of the other guys on the defensive line get up to his level, and things will start looking good. And if Tack can start, I thought he had a good game against the Jets, and hopefully he can start building off of that, and we can get him going down the stretch a little bit more to help out the pass rush. So we'll see how it goes.
Definitely.
Bobby, is there any other thoughts that you have about the Falcons this season or the NFL season in general? I'm sure you might have saw the news today, maybe you didn't, that Deshaun Watson tore his ACL in practice. And, I was just going to say one of the bright young stars in the NFL to have that sort of happen. And he was I think everybody was looking forward to seeing what the Texans would do in the second half of the season and sort of where Watson would lead them. And now to have that sort of blown up, it's now like, what's going on? And, in conjunction, Luck's out for the season now, Aaron Rodgers out for the season, J.J. Watt's out for the year, Odell Beckham, all these guys that have been pretty nicked up and whatnot. So how are you looking at the rest of the NFL so far this year?
Well, Deshaun was a big surprise. I saw that right before I came home from work today, and I was kind of sad. It was fun watching him play. It was, would have been nice to see them beat Seattle last week, and they barely lost. But and it's nice too seeing a player like that in the AFC, so we don't have to worry about him as much.
Yeah.
But yeah, Deshaun, great player. Fun to watch. Like you said, all these other injuries. My wife's a huge Packers fan, so I've been giving her a hard time ever since Aaron Rodgers got hurt. But unfortunately, that's nature of the beast with the NFL. There's a lot of injuries, and we're very fortunate. The Falcons, especially their quarterback position, Matt Ryan has been, knock on wood, he's been solid. He's only missed a handful of games in his career, and I think his biggest injury was turf toe, I want to say, back years ago. But he's just Mr. Reliable, it seems like. That's unfortunate with the NFL. But as far as performance goes, I really think the Chiefs are going to go a long way this year, and I think they have the firepower to take down the Patriots on the AFC side of the house in the playoffs. I mean, I hope they do, but for obvious reasons. But and then the NFC side of the house, the Eagles, Carson Wentz looks really good this year. He's certainly going to be a star in this league for a long time. Luckily he didn't go to an NFC South team, but he's still somebody we're going to have to deal with in the coming years, and this year included. Luckily we don't play the Eagles this year, but it's been a weird year though, as far as people's expectations and what's actually happened on the field. I feel like, especially with the Patriots having the worst defense in the league, just some really odd things that have been going on, but it's been fun to watch though. It's very unpredictable. No one knows what's really happen week to week.
Yeah, it seems like that's going to be the case moving forward. It seems like we've gotten a lot of that. You saw Carolina 2 years ago when everybody, when they lost Kelvin Benjamin for the year, everybody was like, oh yeah, Carolina's their season is done. And then they went 15-1, almost went undefeated that year. And then the Falcons to come up last year and sort of catch people off guard. You know, like at this point last year, I think Green Bay had a losing record, and then to make it all the way to the NFC Championship game and to have New England, as you said, go from what was the best defense in the league, at least in terms of points allowed, to probably, I don't know if they're dead last, but they're somewhere close to it this year. It's sort of topsy-turvy, and sort of, you know, Alex Smith is one of the front runners to be NFL MVP or whatever. You know, it's really unpredictable in terms of all the things that are happening these last couple of years. And I think going forward, it's going to be like, yeah, even if the Falcons, you know, finish strong this year, you know, then there's no reason, rhyme or reason that, you know, they could, it's a complete toss up for 2018. Or even if they finish poorly this year, it's like, oh, well, they can just be right back in the hunt next year, because the way the NFL seems to go, there's just, it's hard to predict how things are going to go. But that makes it exciting. I personally think it, you know, it's a little frustrating when the Falcons don't live up to your expectations. You know, I thought they would be at 6-1 at this point, but, you know, 4-3, I can live with it as long as, you know, it doesn't get to 4-4 and 4-5 and whatnot, but we'll see how it goes.
Totally agree. Yeah, and we were 4-3 last year at this point in time, so hopefully we have the same result as last year, minus the Super Bowl.
Yeah, definitely. Let's, you know, hopefully they'll get their act together, and I think, you know, this Carolina game will certainly tell us a lot on whether that's likely to happen sooner rather than later.
Definitely.
Well, Bobby, I appreciate you coming on and chatting with me. And is there a way that people, if they want to, on various social medias, can they get in touch with you and interact with you and talk Falcons?
I'm not on any social media. I just, I'm off the grid, so to speak.
Okay, there you go. All right, so he's lying away. So if anybody, you happen to find yourself lost in the desert in Nevada somewhere, maybe Bobby will find you. I don't know.
We'll see.
All right. Well, Bobby, I appreciate you coming on, and look forward to talking with you. If you're not on social media, but maybe you have my email address, so certainly if you have any things that you want to discuss, I'll be more than happy to talk to you online and whatnot.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks so much for having me on.
All right, man. You have a good night.
How you do?
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.